We'll now turn to our scripture reading for this afternoon. You'll find it in the Old Testament and the first book of Samuel. And we'll read all of chapter 1 and the opening two verses of chapter 2, first book of Samuel. And we hope today to look at Hannah, a portrait of a godly woman and mother. First book of Samuel, chapter 1. Let us hear God's own holy word. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives, the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting in the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and 1 skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Amen. May God bless that reading of his word. O congregation, if you open your Bibles once again to the part of God's word we read earlier, we hope to glean from 1 Samuel chapter 1 and also look at the words of Hannah, in the second chapter and glean some lessons from this remarkable woman. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, the Old Testament contains many portraits of godly men and women from whom we can learn many valuable lessons about life and how to live out our lives before the face of God. We encounter great men of God such as Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David, and Daniel, for example. And we meet with great women of faith such as Sarah, Rebecca, Ruth, and Esther, for example. But perhaps one of the greatest portraits of all which the Old Testament gives us of a godly woman is that of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who was one of the greatest of all of the prophets of Israel and who was himself a mighty man of God. And I want to look this afternoon then at the portrait that is left for us in the Old Testament of this great woman of faith by observing some of her defining characteristics and the lessons which can be drawn from them. And given that today is Mother's Day, this message is aimed primarily at the women and the mothers in the congregation, which is why I'm calling it Hannah, a portrait of a godly woman and mother. But I trust that we can all learn from her godly example in one way or other. And I realize also that while Mother's Day is traditionally a day to celebrate mothers and motherhood, and for some of you it may well be a very difficult day, for while you're thankful for the opportunity that it gives you perhaps to honor your own mother and all your friends who are mothers, maybe you feel saddened by the reality that you're not a mother yourself, even though you may well long to be one. And that could be because you're as yet unmarried, or even if you are married, you've been unable to have a child of your own, or because you have lost a child in the past. And so I'm aware that this day can be a very painful and sad experience for some of you and many women like you. And I want to be sensitive to that today, as all of us ought to be. And if that is your situation in life, then I pray that God will give you an extra measure of his grace to comfort and uphold you. And I want to take this opportunity to look at the wonderful example that Hannah does provide of a godly mother and woman. And I hope it will be of help and encouragement to those of you in the congregation who are women and who are tasked with the solemn responsibility of bringing up your own children. And I want to notice 5 things about Hannah that we see from the first book of Samuel, which we read earlier. And we'll see firstly that Hannah was a woman with very real problems. But then secondly, we'll observe that Hannah was also a woman of great prayer. And thirdly, we'll notice that Hannah was a woman with right priorities. And in the fourth place, we'll note that Hannah was also a woman of steadfast purpose. And then lastly, we'll see that she was a woman of fervent praise. Well, the name Hannah itself speaks of her beauty as a godly woman, for it means grace or favor. If you have the name Anna, then that is what Anna means. It means grace or favor. And Hannah is set before us in the Bible then as the portrait of the grace of womanhood. But she appears first of all in the first chapter of Samuel as a barren and a childless woman. And so I want us to see in the first place that Hannah was a woman, just like all women, with very real problems of her own in life to contend with. And that's what's so comforting and so helpful about the biblical accounts of men and women of faith. The Bible doesn't gloss over the fact that they were real men and women just like us. And they too knew what it was to experience very real difficulties and challenges in life. And that was very much the case with this godly woman, Hannah. For we're told in verse 2 of the opening chapter that she was the wife of a man called Elkanah, who also had another wife called Penina. And while this second wife had children, it says that Hannah had no children. For as we read in verse 5 and 6, up until this time the Lord had closed her womb. And understandably that caused her a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, may well have raised many questions in her mind about God and his dealings with her. But to make matters worse, the other wife of Elkanah, Penina, she mocked her. She scorned her. She was constantly putting her down because of her barrenness. She provoked her severely, we're told in verse 6, to make her miserable. And this went on for year after year, as it says in verse 7. So much so that we're told Hannah wept, and she didn't eat because of it when she went up to the house of the Lord on this occasion. For remember, at this time, it was seen as a disgraceful thing for a woman if she couldn't have children, because children at this time were counted as a blessing from God. And you can well imagine then how difficult it must have been for Hannah to have to bear this burden day in and day out of the stigma and shame that was associated with childlessness. And perhaps there is no greater heartache than for a woman to have the heart of a mother, the desire to nurture and love a young life, and yet not to have that wish granted. Well, Hannah knew that pain and struggle for herself, and we can only imagine what it must have done for her, what it must have made her feel like at times. Perhaps she felt at times that her personal worth, her self-esteem were undermined and diminished because of her lot in life. At other times, maybe she reasoned to herself that something was wrong with her, that God was displeased with her, or that she was barren because of some sin in her life. Well, that's what others would probably have been saying about her. And we're not told here exactly how long this difficult season of her life continued for, or whether or not there were times even when she was tempted to give up and abandon her faith in God. But nevertheless, we know that she remained committed to the Lord, trusting in him to provide for her in his own time and way. And so Hannah's life, it beautifully portrays genuine commitment to God and faith, even in the midst of the depths of all her pain and suffering. And that should be an encouragement to all of us today, male or female, in whatever we may be going through or facing in life, to go on maintaining our faith and belief in the goodness of God, in spite of all appearances to the contrary. For you see, this was a situation that was completely out of Hannah's control. But yet, because she was a woman of faith, she knew where to go with her problems and her situation in life. And that's what I want to observe about Hannah in the second place. And she was also a woman of great prayer. For even though she found herself in very difficult and trying circumstances, and she was hurting deeply in her heart because of those circumstances, yet in her pain, she had learned to cry out to God. And when we are in pain, there is no better place or person to go to than God Himself, and to pour out our souls before Him. Well, that's what we read she did in verses 9 to 11. Also in verse 15, we're told that she went to the tabernacle of the Lord, and being in bitterness of soul, she prayed to the Lord. She wept in anguish before Him. And she asked God to look on her affliction, to remember her and not forget her, His maidservant, but that He would give her a male child that she could give back to Him. And verse 12 says that she continued praying before the Lord. And so Hannah was a woman who knew what it was to pour out her heart in honest, open faith before the Lord and to cast herself upon His mercy and grace. For you see, Hannah had learned to turn her care into a prayer and to direct it to her God then by casting her care upon Him in the belief that He did care for her. And that is always the best policy. When we do perhaps feel helpless and broken and downcast, or as the hymn writer asks, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And that is where Hannah took refuge then, in her time of trial and trouble and temptation. She found her way to a throne of grace. And she sets before all of us then an example of godliness that we are to follow. And perhaps you're burdened and struggling today. And maybe you have prayed over and over again, and it seems there's no answer to your prayer, and you are on the verge of giving up. Well, Hannah may well have been tempted on occasions to do the same. And yet she persisted in bringing her needs before the Lord because she was a woman of great prayer. And I want to encourage all of you to do the same. For God sees you, my friend, just as He saw her. And He does know your particular circumstances and all your cares in life. And He does care about you. And go to Him then and seek grace to leave your burden with Him. For you may not get the answer you desire or expect even immediately, but you may receive the peace and the grace you need at a throne of grace to press on for another day, to keep on keeping on when your strength is ready to fail you and you feel the burdens of life are just ready to swallow you up. And many times in life it is hard to see and understand what God is doing and why. But we can be confident, as His Word assures us, that He is hearing our prayers and He is working to accomplish His own holy and wise purposes in our lives. And however dark and desolate and difficult life may be then, we need to always remember that we don't know all that God knows. And therefore he is asking us to simply trust him in what he is doing in our lives, just as Hannah did. And we are to go on walking by faith then, not by sight, resting in him and waiting upon him. For you see, when we do so, we will discover, as his word assures us, that his grace is sufficient for us. For notice even here the effects of Hannah's praying in verse 18. We're told here that having poured out her soul before the Lord and committed her way to him, she went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. You see, because of her perseverance in prayer, Hannah's sorrow was turned to gladness, and she found renewed strength and courage to press on in life and to keep fighting the good fight of faith. As Charles Stanley is so fond of saying, when we fight our battles on our knees, we win every time. And that's what Hannah discovered for herself. Well, Hannah was a woman with real problems in life then, but she had learned to take those same problems to her God in prayer. And so she is an example to all of us of true godliness and the power of faith and prayer. But she was also a woman with right priorities in life. And that's what I want to notice about Hannah in the third place. And this is perhaps where we see in particular how she is presented to us in the Bible as a beautiful portrait of a godly mother. For we know from verse 11 that Hannah had made a vow to the Lord that if he would give her a male child, then she would give that child back to him that he might belong to the Lord all the days of his life. And we're told the Lord heard the prayer of Hannah, and he opened her womb by giving her a son. And so she called his name Samuel, as it says in verse 20, because she had asked for him from the Lord. And the word Samuel actually means asked of the Lord or heard of God. And it was God's purpose then here to give Hannah a son. He granted her request. But what specifically was it that Hannah desired for her child? She wanted a child that she could dedicate to the Lord himself. She wanted a child that would serve God. And that's what I mean then when I say that Hannah was a woman with right priorities. For you see, what she wanted most of all for her son was that he would become a man of God. Someone who would be set apart for the purposes of God. For the vow that she made here was that her son would be a Nazarite. That's what she means when she says in verse 11 that no razor would come upon his head. And a Nazarite, as one author says, is a picture of someone who is kingdom-minded. Someone who is concerned for the things that concern God. Someone who's concerned to advance his kingdom. And he says the Nazarite is a picture then of someone who is fully consecrated to God, who is absolutely devoted to God, who's given over to God's service. And you see, that's what Hannah wanted more than anything else in the world for the child that God had given her. For you see, she recognized that if a child is a gift of God, a precious gift that has come from God himself, then that child belongs to God and must therefore be given back to him. And that means that the child must be raised then in the interests of the kingdom of God. And that meant that Hannah was fully committed to investing in the life of Samuel by doing everything she could to see him brought up to God. And she didn't pray then that her child would be successful. She didn't ask God that he would make her child rich or famous or intelligent even. Her prayer was very simple. That the Lord God would, he would be for the Lord God all the days of his life. And there's a timely lesson here for all of us who are parents here then, not just mothers. All of us who have been given children, we need to ask ourselves, well, what is the greatest desire of my heart for my children? Is it that they might have a heart for the Lord God above all else, and that they would willingly yield up their lives to him? And are we fully committed to doing what we must to invest in our children to that end, whatever it may cost us, personally or financially or in other ways? Well, Hannah was devoted to the spiritual well-being of Samuel. And so we see from this chapter that she treasured the time that she had with him in the earliest and formative years of his life. And so she nurtured him. She cared for Samuel in such a way that when the time came for little Samuel to finally be taken to the temple and given over to the service of God, she had already built into his little heart a worshiping spirit. It says in verse 28 that they both worshipped the Lord thereafter she had brought him to Eli the priest. And that little baby boy, as young as he may have been, that the Lord had given her, had now become a child, and yet he knew how to worship the Lord God. And how do you think he had learned to do that? Well, he'd no doubt learned it from his godly mother who'd been seeking to teach him about the things of God and how to pray and worship. And if we want our children to learn these things, then we must be seeking to do likewise. And we must seek grace to model true godliness before them, ourselves, just as Hannah did. Well, Hannah was a woman with right priorities then. But you see, God's priorities were Hannah's priorities. And that meant that our focus, it wasn't merely on the things of this world, but her focus was on the things of eternity. And she was determined, therefore, to do what she could to train up her child in the way that he should go. And that should be the goal of every mother. If her children are to rise up on the last day and call her blessed, as it says in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28, that makes me think of a young girl who was lying upon her bed with what proved to be a fatal sickness. And she was the only child of her parents. Because that was true, they had idolized her. They indulged her every whim, gave her everything she wanted. And because of her sickness, the doctor was called to come and see that girl. And after examining her, the doctor then whispered into her mother's ear, and he told her that there was nothing he could do for her. And that message from the doctor to her mother, it was heard by that sick girl. And so she called her mother to her side, and she said, "Mother, you have taught me how to dance, how to dress well, how to comport myself in the world. But," she said, "one thing you have failed to teach me, and that is how to die. Oh, may God forbid that whatever else our children may be able to say about us, that any of them would ever be able to say that. And let all of us strive then as parents, whether we're mothers or fathers, to bring up our children in such a way that they can live and die well. Well, Hannah was a woman with right priorities, kingdom priorities. But because that was true of her, she was also a woman of steadfast purpose. And that's what we can note about her in the fourth place. You see, Hannah didn't simply make a vow to God to give her son to him all the days of her life. She was also faithful to uphold and perform that vow, to keep her vow. And so when she had weaned Samuel, she brought him to the house of the Lord to Eli the priest. And in verse 26 we read that she said to Eli, "As your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." And at this time, Samuel may only have been around 3 or 4 years of age. While there's no mention here of Hannah's emotions at this point, we can only imagine that it must have been incredibly heart-wrenching for her to finally give up her son to the service of the Lord, especially after she had prayed for a child for so long, and then she had nurtured and nursed him up until this point in time. And yet she didn't waver in her purpose to give him up to God. She remained steadfast in her resolve to do the will of God, just as she had promised. And we see, therefore, that Hannah was also a woman of her word. Because, you see, Hannah knew that vows were meant to be kept. And she wouldn't go back on her word then, even if it meant giving up the one thing that she had desired most in life. But not only that, Hannah also remained steadfast in seeking to fulfill her responsibilities as a mother to Samuel. For later on in chapter 2 and verse 18, we read that Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. In other words, he was in the attire of a priest, even as a little boy while he was engaged in his various duties. But as verse 19 says, it was his mother who would make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And so every time Hannah would come to the temple, she came with a brand new robe for her growing boy. Because you see, she still wanted to do all that she could possibly do, however limited it may have been, to take good care of her son. And Hannah never stopped being a mother to Samuel then, no matter how old he became in life. And no doubt he was always on her heart. And he remained in her prayers, even though he was at a great distance from her. And Hannah is a remarkable example to us then of the sacrificial love of a mother. As Amy Carmichael says, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And Hannah was a giver who gave out of love. But what is most remarkable of all is that even though she did love her child deeply, as every mother should, yet because she loved God most of all, she was willing to give him the most precious thing to her in all the world in order that he might be glorified. But you see, Hannah was determined that the gift which God had given her, that it wouldn't become more important than the giver himself. And Hannah is an example to every mother then of just what it means to be a consistent and committed Christian mother. For you see, Hannah counted the cost of following the Lord, whether it proved to be easy or difficult. And she was steadfast then in her purpose to lovingly do the will of God in all things. Well, Hannah was determined then to make God her main priority in life. And she showed by her lifestyle that her highest goal was to serve and honor God. And that brings us lastly to see very briefly. She was also a woman of fervent praise. For we see that in her prayer, which is recorded in the first 10 verses of chapter 2. Prayer which is just full of praise and adoration to God for all that he is in himself, and all that he is to his people. And Hannah had proved the love of God for her. And it was that love that had captured her heart. And it was only natural then that she would give expression to it in a prayer or song of praise and worship to her God. And this is a woman with a thankful heart for all that God had done for her in answering her prayers and visiting her with his salvation. And every godly woman and mother should be known by her praise to God and an attitude of worship. And that's what characterized Hannah in the good times as well as the bad times. Or even before the Lord had ever granted her request for a child, we read that she was a woman who worshipped before him. You can see that if you look at verse 19 of chapter 1. And so even in the valley of trial and affliction, Hannah was still conscious that God is worthy of our praise and worship, and she freely offered it up to him. And if you and I know Hannah's God, then we ought to be doing the same. For my friend, even if we never receive from him many of the things we may desire and ask for in life, can we not still praise him as she did, by rejoicing in his salvation? For whatever he may withhold from us, he's provided salvation for us in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is much more than any one of us deserve. And that is more than sufficient reason to offer him our fervent praise. Well, there is much more that could be said about this remarkable woman, Hannah. And I trust enough has been said to show us why she is one of the greatest portraits which the Bible gives us of a truly godly woman and mother. And she set before you then as a mother and as a woman, as an example to follow. And that's what I encourage every woman here to do, whether you are a mother or not. And I just want to say in closing to the children of those who are mothers in the congregation, one of the greatest gifts that God can give to any child is the gift of a godly mother. And yes, your mother may not be perfect, but if she loves the Lord Jesus Christ and she is seeking to pass that legacy on to you, then she is giving you the greatest thing she could ever give you. And children, honor your mother then, and show your love for her on this Mother's Day by telling her that you love her and that you do appreciate all that she has done for you and all that she does seek to do for you. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for every example that you've left us in your word of true godliness. We thank you for the example that you've set before us in the life of this godly woman, Hannah. And we pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to learn from her example, especially the woman and the mothers in the congregation. We pray that they would seek to mirror and model the life that is set before us here, that they too would learn to come with all of their problems and burdens and cares and concerns and to lay them all out before you in prayer with a submissive spirit, looking to you and waiting upon you and trusting in you for all that they need. And we pray, Lord, that every mother in the congregation would have right priorities, that their priorities would be your priorities, to dedicate their children to the Lord and to do everything in their power by your grace to seek to bring them up in the way that they should go, to teach them and instruct them both by precept and by example. And we pray, Lord, that all of us who are parents who have been blessed with children would be seeking to invest in the lives of our children. We realize, Lord, that we cannot change their heart, and yet we know that you call us to live out our lives before them in a godly and right way, that you call us to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to train them in righteousness. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless all of the work that we do as parents in the lives of our children. We look to you to give the increase, to bless our little ones, our loved ones, with the grace that they need to grow up to love you and serve you and walk with you. And we pray, Lord, that every mother in the congregation and all of us would have a steadfast purpose and resolve in life to do so, to live with full purpose of and endeavor after holiness. And we pray that we would be seeking in everything we do to do all things, whether we eat or whether we drink, in all that we do, to do it to your glory as unto the Lord. And we pray, Lord, that all of us would offer up praise to you for all that you have done in our own lives. We look back and the upbringing that we have had, many of us, and we give you thanks for the families that we were brought into, for the mothers who invested in us, who loved us, and who gave of themselves their energy, their time, and no doubt shed many tears over us, and who loved us in spite of all of our many feelings and shortcomings. They never gave up on us. They continued to pray for us and love us and seek to bring us before you. And Lord, we thank you that you are the God of all grace, that you do work in answer to prayer, that you do give all that we need when we call upon your name, not necessarily everything that we may ask or seek from your hand, but you have promised to give us all things necessary, truly necessary, for life and for godliness. Help all of us then to commit our way to you. Bless every mother in the congregation in these times when they are seeking to instruct their children from home, as they're not able to be at school. Give them patience and grace to bear with their little ones and to seek to do all that they can by grace to train them up for the kingdom. Bless all of the little ones, we ask. Help them to honor their mothers and their fathers. Help them to learn to be obedient to their parents, to see that if they have godly parents, that is a great and a precious gift to them from you. And we pray then, Lord, that you would bless the little ones, that you would lead them and guide them as a shepherd does his flock, and that you would work in their young hearts and upon their minds to bring them to know you in the days of their youth. Bless all of us throughout the rest of this week. We seek to commit it into your hands. We look to you for all that we do need, and we commit our way to you by faith. We put our trust in you. Go before us and guide us then, we ask. Bless your word. Apply it as only you can. Forgive anything that was sinful or not in keeping with your mind and will. And blot out all of our sins, we ask, and all of our shortcomings.
Cleanse us afresh in the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.